for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Dr. Marcus Haggard, teaching on Is Your Yoke Broke, Saturday morning, May the 24th, at the Hamilton Bible Camp, Memorial Weekend Deliverance Seminar.
This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
In the womb. And he didn't have the sins of mankind following him. And so therefore he walked this earth, and when it was time for his crucifixion, and he says, the prince of the air cometh, and he has nothing in me. You remember that? In John? He said, and he has nothing in me. That means that Jesus Christ was in, I'm about to win my own argument, see, and I'm just going to kind of cancel out what I said before. But Jesus Christ walked without all these hookers in him. See, he walked without all these hookers in him. That's where we are. That's what we're here for. So actually, you can strike out part of that dissertation, and we're going to go on from there. Now, what? How do we exercise the power of God, and how do we work the work? Do we have some ushers that are present that could come and hand out sheets right quickly, because we're going to start with the warfare prayers? How many were here yesterday morning for the warfare prayers? Well, how many weren't? Let's see that. How many didn't get the warfare? Okay, hand the warfare prayers out first. They're right over there. And if you want to take another set... Okay. Well, okay. You know, I love these brothers that go to bat for you. And here's the Amplified version in Ephesians 3:19. And the Amplified version 3:19 is what I'm going to read out of. And I would like, let's just suspend passing this out. I haven't read it in the Amplified. And let's just halt a minute. And Father, we ask you for an agreement of minds, and that your Holy Spirit would put this in our minds as it is meant to be. That you... 3:19. That you may really come to know practically through experience for yourself the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience, that you may be filled through all your being unto all the fullness of God, that is, may have the richest measure of the divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God himself. Well, Rachel says it's all right in the King James, too. Okay? 3:19. And to know the love or the works of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Well, I'm going to show you one right. I was going to show it to you later, but we'll just use it now. And that's Colossians 3:9. And as soon as they pass these sheets, that's one of the greater seven, you see, and one of the... Okay, now these are the warfare prayers, and you can write at the top of these warfare prayers, Is Your Yoke Broke? I'd like for you to make a note of Colossians 3:9. And then Colossians 3:9. That's one of the greater seven. Now, Colossians 2:9. Colossians 2:9. Pardon me. Thank you. Colossians 2:9. I'd like you to write another one right there. when you hear that child screaming out there, you know, write down there Hebrews 1:14. And I'll show you a very practical thing. We're worried about that child, right? Now, we have a perfect right to say, Father, we ask you to send angels out there and comfort that child, protect that child. And I want to tell you, there's nothing surer in the world but what the Father has dispatched angels, have him around that child. Matthew 18:10, it says that we all have angels face to face with God all the time. Now, we loose that child's angel, you see. We loose him. And then we ask the Father, Hebrews 1:14 says, are they not all ministering spirits sent to minister for the heirs of salvation? For. See, for a long time, Kenneth Hagin said he read that too. Two. And we'll just give you a little, how about, huh? Yeah, everybody does. The Bible wants you to read it as saying two. But it's four. It's four. So they say you don't want to worship angels. See, a lot of people, they put that, they say, they preach on that. We mustn't worship angels. So therefore, don't have anything to do with those angels. Well, that's the words of Satan, because that's what they're for. They're ministering spirits for the heirs of salvation. Now, if you went into a restaurant and sat down and ordered food, and that waitress came up and you said, bring me a steak, would you be worshiping her just because you gave her an order? No, you wouldn't be worshiping because you gave her an order. She's a servant. And so you just simply ask her for a steak. Now, it says, those angels are ministering spirits for the heirs of salvation. So we actually have that. You see, why can't we get that through our head? Realize through our blinded minds that the Lord wants to be that good to us. But every time my girls come to me or my boys and they want something, you know, after I became a Christian, I couldn't wait to do it for them. I just couldn't wait to do it for them. You know why? Because it says your heavenly Father will do so much more for you than an earthly father. Now, that kind of sets what we'd ought to have in our attitude, see? If he compares the earthly father and the heavenly father, he's able to do so much more. But what's an earthly father supposed to do? Well, what am I here for? I am here to provide my children's needs as it is best for them, you see. And if I determine that that's the thing, I want to tell you something. You see, what we do, we punish our kids because we feel bad. If we've had a bad day, the kids get a bad day. Well, that's just because we've heaped upon ourselves, no reason to heap it upon the kids, see. That's the whole thing. So that's what goes with now let's see, we were going to discuss Colossians 2:9. This breaks the yoke. Now, I'm going to give you some support for breaking that yoke. But anyway, I want you to see who we are in Christ in just one verse, you see. And that is Colossians 3:9. And I think it would be well just for somebody to read that and stand up in a big, loud, booming voice. And 2:9, Colossians 2:9. Well, Shockley, do you want to read that to the group? I'm going to help you. We're going to just look at some things. Okay.
For in him,
okay,
dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily.
All right. For in Jesus Christ. Now, this is what it's saying. Ooh, you don't want to sit down yet. Now, for in Jesus Christ, when you looked at him, you saw everything in him, the fullness of all the Godhead. Who's the Godhead? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, three different individuals. The fullness of them was poured into Jesus Christ. And when you looked at him and his works and what he did, you saw everything that there was to see about God. What does that say? Dwelt in him bodily. Bodily. When the body of Jesus Christ walked down the street, You saw the fullness of all that the Godhead had to show mankind and offer mankind. Now, I'm going to give you seven scriptures in just a moment that say that we are to walk as Christ walked. And I'll show you other scriptures that say that we have what Christ had. In fact, that's Ephesians 3:19 said it, you see. Now, then go ahead.
And ye are complete in him.
And ye are... Why, just think of that. Mrs. Orchard. You know what that says. And ye are... Thank you, brother. And ye are complete. You know what that Hebrew word means, complete? There ain't nothing more to be done. That's what it means. If you sold me a complete automobile, it'd have all the wheels on it. It'd have a steering wheel. It'd have to be all there. You couldn't say complete, could you? Now, when it says we're complete in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're complete. We are complete. Oh, boy. Thank you, Father. Oh. Isn't that wonderful? And then we let somebody intimidate us. Somebody serving the devil, working for God, and not... I want to tell you something. This Pastor Hunter, that is 84 years old, and he spent 50-some years as a preacher in the United Brethren Church, and boy, you listen to a guy talk about bondage. He can tell you about bondage, see? And now he's full... charismatic and so forth, and the Lord bring back to my mind the point I started to make in the first place. Oh yeah, thank you, Lord. He was studying the 23rd Psalm, and he came to this, and he prepareth a table before my enemies, and he said, Lord, who's my enemies? Who's my enemies? And the Lord said this, it's your friends who oppose you. See, the world, most of the Bible's written for the child of God, for the believer. See, and most of the time you're dealing with religiosity and people that are supposed to be Christians. See, when Joshua said, choose ye this day whom ye will serve, he wasn't talking to the world. He wasn't talking to the unsaved people. He was talking to the children of God. So when we understand that choose ye this day who you will serve applies what he did, he says you're either going to be working for God or with God. Thank you, Father. That just... I hadn't connected that before, but that's what Joshua was saying. See, there is a division between here, and you're either going to work for God or with God. And if you're going to work with God, then you're going to choose to serve God. You're not serving God in this category, even though it looks like you're working for Him. I think that's important for us to get through our minds. Well, anyway, warfare prayers. Now, you can just turn your, turn your sheet over. And on the back of the sheet, or write them anywhere you want to, I'm going to give you a list of scriptures that if you want to support them, see, here this person comes for deliverance. They'll wonder why they should take the warfare prayer. Well, in the first place, the Bible says in 58:9. Isaiah 58:9, it says that you put off the yoke. And you can tie that right together with 2 Corinthians 6, about 14. Is that where it says, become not unequally yoked? Ask him to flip that air conditioner on, Wynn, when you go back there. Huh? All right, well, it's... See, 14 probably takes you to something else that we talk about a lot. But, it's what? Is that 14? Okay. That's all right, sweetheart. You just stay right in there now. Don't get discouraged. Now, it says to take the yoke off. Then, and you see, this is our yoke. See, there's a difference. Please recognize the fact there's a difference in the instruction of the Lord when it says for us to remove the yoke. And then in Isaiah 58, along down about the sixth verse, it says that you break every yoke. How? With the power of God. You're breaking it off of the fellow man. See? The Lord says you take your yoke off in Isaiah 58:9 and in 2 Corinthians 6:14, and you've got control of that. But he says that what we're supposed to do is help break every yoke on other people, too. So it works both ways. And so what we're trying to do is to help that person break their yoke through our power of God and through the knowledge that we have accumulated. Now, so scriptures that you want to refer to would be Deuteronomy 5:9. I'm just going to give you these about as fast as you can write. Deuteronomy 5:9, Deuteronomy 7:9, 10, and 15, Deuteronomy 5:25 and 26, Deuteronomy 23:2, Leviticus 26:21, Leviticus 26:40-42, Numbers 14:18. Numbers 14, 18th chapter. 18th verse. Pardon me. You might want to make a notation up there besides Deuteronomy 25:26. That's where you get the objects out of your house that are an abomination to the Lord. Deuteronomy 25 and 26 is where you smash the objects. I don't know whether the lady's here that owns this or not, that did own it. She threw it away last night. Is the lady that threw this away here? Well, anyway, the reason I picked that up as an example, it hadn't got thrown away yet. But you see, Jesus set up different ways for us to be known that we were Christians besides wearing this. And he said in John, and we'll talk about that after a while, but in John 17, he said, because you're in me and I'm in you and the Father's in us and we're all in one, the world will know that you have sent me. He said that in John 5:36, you see that my works are a witness that my Father sent me. In Corinthians, it says that my God shall not be carved out of stone or carved out of wood, but you are the living. He lives in you, see. So we don't need the dove on the license plate. We don't need the fish on our belt buckle. We don't need the big cross hanging from us. And it's unnecessary. Now, you can wear them if you want to, and I'm not picking on anybody that does, but the reason, this lady, she'll probably be back tonight, but somebody ought to see that gets in the waste basket, in the trash. And another lady, you brought a big emblem that it was just an Egyptian piece, an ornament, but if that had hung, see, it's no different. She takes it into her house as clothing, but let's just say that she has hanging on the wall, and the most clear thing would be a Buddhist idol. That's an abomination to the Lord. Now, Wynn explained last night that the scriptures say, like that zodiac, like that sign that's on the tarot card of Procter & Gamble, that's a circle, and that's a star, and that's the half moon and everything. Well, that's an abomination to the Lord. He's already said so, because that's other gods. That's seeking other gods. Now, if that's brought into your house, the scripture says that you become cursed like it is. Now, what I like to set up to a person that doesn't really understand, I like for him to turn to Jeremiah 17:5. And in Jeremiah 17:5, it says that if you seek... Well, in Jeremiah 17:5, it says that if you turn away, or if you seek flesh or seek another man. Does somebody have that right quick and we'll get that? Okay, here we go.
Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that
trusteth. Okay, cursed be the man. Now, this is a curse from the Lord. It's not, you're not messing around here with a curse from the devil. This is a curse from the Lord. Cursed be the man that trusteth in man. Now, anytime you trust in anything man-made in the way of an idol or a carved wood or stone or, well, you can just include a crucifix with Jesus hanging on it if you want to. Go ahead.
And then, and make it flesh his arm, in whose heart you pardon.
All right. Now, the instant that you trust in that horoscope, the instant you trust in the, what do they call it, that astrology thing, the horoscope, the instant you sit down and read that with, and read it, whether it's for fun or for seriousness, your heart has departed from the Lord. And you automatically come under a curse from the Lord, according to that scripture. Okay, now, why don't you check? Somebody look up Isaiah 45, 13 or 14. Something. Let's see. I'll get it right here. Isaiah 47, 13 and 14. Isaiah 37, 13 and 14, right quick. Isaiah 47, 13 and 14. Somebody got that right quick? You got it?
You are wearied with many counsels and plans. Let now the astrologers, the stargazers, the monthly prognosticators...
Listen how clear the Bible spells that out, see? The monthly prognosticators, the stargazers, and so forth. Go ahead.
They cannot and make known to you and save you from the things that come upon you,
yeah.
Babylon.
See, what the Lord's saying is, now look, you're calling on me. All I'm going to do is tell you that what you've been trusting in, just call upon them. Call upon those monthly prognosticators. Call upon the stargazers. Look, you've sought them. You've sought the tarot cards. You've asked the fortune tellers. Now let them help you. See? That's what he's saying. Now, somebody that wants to... wonder why they're supposed to take the warfare prayers? They're breaking their yoke. See, you've become yoked for that, and you're breaking the yoke, see? Okay, we're going to continue here. Isaiah 14, 21, Jeremiah 32, 18, Isaiah 5, 12, Isaiah 5, 12 through 14, Jeremiah 32, 18. Isaiah 14, 21, Hosea 4, 6, Jeremiah 17, 5, we read those, Deuteronomy 4, 29 and 31, Isaiah 47, 13 and 14, 47, 13 and 14, Deuteronomy 4, 29 and 31. Okay. Now, I think now because we're going to minister, we're going to go quickly through the warfare prayers. And I tell you this, the Lord has a program. The Lord has a plan. And the Lord has spoken it, and he's going to fulfill it. And you know, many things, I tell you what, we've been here quite a while. And I think before we start these warfare prayers, if you want to just stand and stretch and rest yourself for just a minute or two, then we can just simply proceed. While we're doing this, we can pass out some other things. Here's binding and loosing in the home and binding and loosing in business. And just take half. Well, here, one of you pass one out. Let me. Now, the binding and loosing in the home, I don't know of anything that will change everybody in the home quicker than just start binding and loosing in the home. But we have the power. Your spoken word is so much more powerful, but it all hinges upon what? According to your faith, be it unto you. If you don't have any power in deliverance, and your spirit filled, and you're born again, and you know you're working with God, it's because your opinion of yourself and God is a little low. And you just underestimate your power, you see. How many ladies here have husbands at home that need the Lord? How many ladies? Hold your hands way up. We're not going to ask you to do anything except that. All right, now, I want to tell you. You got a strong man over your home. You got a strong man over your husband. Do you know that you've got the power to absolutely bind all that evil activity in your home? Okay, let's sit down again and we'll just have at it again. Well, we're going to give you the basic outline. We are short of binding and loosing in the home. And we ran an extra 500 to bring down here so everybody'd have extra copies. And I'm going to continue to look through our literature. And, I just can't imagine. But anyway, we're going to give you the basic outline. Those of you who didn't get a copy of Binding and Loosing in the Home, we're just simply going to go over it thoroughly enough so that you will have the basic outline. The Binding and Loosing in the Home is, we've been doing that for about 2 years, and there's a series of scriptures that go with the daily, why we should do things daily. And when Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me, take up your cross daily, you see. Take up your cross daily. Paul says, I die daily. Now, the cross was an instrument of death. That's not a burden. Somebody that teaches that cross is sickness or sorrow or a burden or a drunk husband or an unsaved soul, that's an error. Amen. Because the cross is an instrument in death, and you're supposed to put all those things on Jesus. The scriptures never contradict themselves. The scriptures are in perfect harmony, you see. And actually, when the Bible says take up your cross daily, it means die to soul. It means you're going to get rid of, it's a very tricky thing, you see, but you're going to let the old desires, the old man, die daily. You die to yourself. You become unselfish. I think probably a good gauge you can use is that Jesus Christ sat and they spit on him and plucked his beard out and everything else, and he never said a word. Now, a good gauge is that when somebody comes up to you and says, you lied to me. Me? Lie to you? Why? How dare you say that? How much self have I got left? Quite a lot. Now, somebody comes up and says, say, you cheated your neighbor. Well, now let's talk about this. I did? See, the self's getting better. Somebody comes up and says, you lied to me. Forgive me. I sure didn't intend to. You can't offend somebody if their self is dead. There's no way you can insult them. See, you can abuse them and kick them and everything else, but you can't raise any kind of old self. So a good gauge is how much of a flare-up you get when you get insulted, you see. And I'm telling you, that's really a job. Now, we're supposed to die daily. We're supposed to ask for our daily bread. The model prayer says, the Father, give me daily bread. See? So daily exercises are set up in the Bible. And we are, what about that scripture that says, the inner man, let's see. The inner man is renewed daily. See, Paul says the inner man is renewed day by day. That's the correct scripture. Inner man is renewed day by day. It's a little more explicit. Okay. Now, if a person here is unable to take the warfare prayers for themselves, the mother or the father should take the warfare prayers for them. And this is really breaking the yoke. So let's go through these as quickly as possible. You folks who took them yesterday, just count on taking them about another 500 times, if the Lord tarries, because you just can't take them too much. Heavenly Father, I bow in worship and praise before you. I cover myself with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ as my protection. I surrender myself completely and unreservedly in every area of my life to you. Stand against all the workings of Satan that would hinder me and my prayer life. I work, address the true and living God, and refuse any involvement of Satan in my prayer. Satan, I command you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to leave my presence with all of your demons. I bring the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ between us. I resist all the endeavors of Satan and his wicked spirits to rob me of the will of God. I choose to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. I pull down the strongholds of Satan. Lord Jesus Christ, I believe that you are the Son of God, that you are the Messiah come in the flesh to destroy the works of the devil. You died on the cross for my sins and rose again from the dead. I now confess all my sins and repent. I now ask you to forgive me and cleanse me in your blood. I believe that your blood cleanses me now from all sin. Thank you for redeeming me, cleansing me, justifying me, and sanctifying me in your blood. Lord, I have a confession to make. I have not loved, but have resented certain people and have unforgiveness in my heart, and I call upon you, Lord, to help me forgive them. I do now forgive them. You don't have to feel like forgiving. Just forgive. There are four things that block most people's deliverance and healing. One is unforgiveness, two is the occult, three is pride, and four is unbelief and doubt, and they're all covered in these warfare prayers. But those are the four major blocks. Father, I ask you to refresh the memory. When you're working with a person, you pray to the Father to refresh and bring all things to their memory that they need to be forgiven, that they need to forgive. Forgiving God is important. How many times have you looked in the mirror and said, Lord, why couldn't you have made me pretty? You know, why couldn't you have made me like Tarzan or something like that? Okay, so we need to forgive God. And ask you to forgive them also, Lord. I do now forgive and accept myself in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I now confess seeking from Satan the help that should only come from God. I now confess a sin, now the occult sins. If you went to the fortune teller for fun, tell the Father you're sorry. If you've got your ears pierced, tell the Father you're sorry. Wynn Worley's going to cover a lot of this tonight in his mass deliverance, and it won't hurt to hear it twice or thrice. And it's amazing how some of these things that we do and have been snared, we've been trapped, and we just have to realize. Gene Dixon, Edgar Casey, the Unity Church, Jehovah Witness, Mormonism, all these things, Christian Science, the pendulum, your Aunt Emma charming off a burn. You burn your hand, and she says, she puts a little thing, rubs it a little bit, and then like that, and it's gone. Cooperating spirits, like we were talking about a while ago. I knew an old boy that, well, let's just go on. It takes too much time. thank you, Jesus, right. Saved us from one story. And also those sins I cannot remember. Lord, I now repent and renounce these sins and ask you to forgive them. I count them by an enemy. Oops. I renounce Satan and all his works. I hate all his demons. I count them my enemies. In the name of Jesus Christ, I now close the door on all occult practices. I command all such spirits to leave me in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ, I now renounce, break, loose myself from all demonic subjection to mother, father, grandparents, or any other human beings, living or dead, that have dominated me in any way, and I thank you, Lord, for setting me free. In the name of Jesus Christ, now renounce, break, loose myself and my children from all psychic powers or bondages or bonds of physical or mental illness upon me or my family life. As a result of parents or any other ancestors, I thank you, Lord, for setting me free. In the name of Jesus Christ, I now rebuke, break, loose myself and my children from any and all evil curses, charms, vexes, hexes, spells, jinxes, psychic powers, bewitchment, witchcraft, and sorcery that have been put upon me or my family line from any persons or from any occult or psychic sources. And I cancel all connected and related spirits and command them to leave me. I thank you, Lord, for setting me free. I come to you, Jesus, as my deliverer. You know all my problems. Now, if you need money, if you need health, if you need your husband saved, if you need any problem you have, salvation is just the most misinterpreted word. Satan has been able to really do things with that word. Salvation to most people mean that you, when you die, you go to heaven. That's insurance from going to hell. But salvation, the word means everything you got from Jesus Christ. Freedom from everything the devil could lay on you. Salvation means deliverance, healing, wealth, free mind. Break the bondage on the mind. We'll talk about that either this afternoon or in the morning. But breaking the bondage on the mind. We have people, we have students that go from failing to A just by breaking the bondage on their mind. Nothing else. No change in Sunday habits, no nothing. Just breaking the bondage on the mind. We had a preacher that attends our, Danny Thornburg attends our group, and he said that they broke the bondage on a woman's mind, and he called for the fire of the Lord to do it, and he said she could smell hair burning. The fire of the Lord was burning off the strands of hair that was wrapped around her brain. A man from Delaware, the way this was confirmed, that Satan uses hair to wrap around people's brain to blind them. He uses steel bands. He uses steel caps. He uses fetters. The Bible refers to fetters. And this man was a Catholic from back east in Delaware, and he brought a baby for deliverance. And the Lord gave him a vision of a great, big, beautiful blonde standing at the head of a stairway, and her hair went clear to the bottom of the stairway, and around the bottom of the stair was kids just playing, 5, 6, 7-year-old kids and 4-year-old kids. And see, the lady was attractive and smiling and so forth, and the strands of her hair wrapped around those children and hung them upside down, and they were mysteriously picked up and hung on a tree. Now, the Satan snares kids, and when he's ready to use them, he turns them loose. As what? Well, as his servants, you see. But they're bound. Their mind is bound. Now, we have the power to break that yoke. We have the power to break the bondage on that mind. And many times when you start to deliver people, they'll say, I won't turn loose of her mind. I won't turn loose of her mind. And this is also repeated from other deliverance ministries, you see. So the mind is captured and bound, and we need to break the bondage on it. Well, I don't know how we got onto that. This is asking the Lord all my problems. Whatever problem you have, Jesus knows about, and he wants to fill it. And the only thing between filling it and between you getting it and him doing it is you asking. See? You got to know you have a need to have a prayer fulfilled. Now, let's have our joyful. What do you say? We want our joyful, Father. So let's just ask right now. Just everybody, whatever you want, just name it, name it, name it, name it, name it, and he'll do it. Look, the Father's listening. And Jesus is here. Why, they sent angels. Already, this place is just swarming with angels, you see. Covered with angels. Thank you, Father. Okay, now, name them. All the things that bind, that torment, that defile and harass me, I now loose myself from every dark spirit, from every evil influence, from every satanic bondage, from every spirit in me that is not the spirit of God, and I command all such spirits to leave me now in the name of Jesus Christ. I now confess that my body is a temple for the Holy Spirit, redeemed, cleansed, sanctified by the blood of Jesus. Therefore, Satan has no place, no power over me, through the blood of Jesus. Then let's skip down to pride. Go to pride, and then we'll go back up to that other. Pride. Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. I know pride is an abomination to you, that a haughty look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that shed running into mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren, are seven things doth the Lord hate and are an abomination unto him. Father, I renounce these and turn away from them. I humble myself before you and come to you as a little child. Father, I renounce unbelief and doubt as sin and ask you to forgive me from these. Father, I break and renounce evil soul ties that I have had or may have had with lodges, adulterers, close friends. Now back on the back table, we're going to lay an article about D&D, Dragons and Dungeons. Now your kids probably have already been exposed to it if they're in high school or college. They play it on computers. It's a very sophisticated fantasy game. It's called Dragons and Dungeons. It was introduced in 73 as Devil and Dungeons. But you read about it in the paper. They've had big headlines about it. And it's the cleverest snare of Satan you've ever seen. We have researched it, and we have a tape on it. And they have three books out, the Monster Manual, and then the rest of them's all How to Cast Spells. It is the devil's world in very close, it is exact duplicate of the devil's world. They have succubus and incubus and all of the demons. They have the thought eaters. The scriptures say that we shouldn't even study how they worship their God. This is warfare in Satan's kingdom, and kids play it and play the role of the demon that they're going to be. Like they'll play the role of a witch or anything like that, and then they come at each other with spells. Now, just as we need to train ourselves in using the power of God and in saying what we need to say, they're being trained and schooled. The highly intellectual kids, only the smart ones play this because some ones can't understand it. But it's a highly intellectual game, and they play the part and the role in the devil's warfare, and they learn to cast spells. My girl Mary was talking to a boy, and he wanted her to vote for a certain girl. And she said, well, yes, I probably will. He asked her if she would. He said, well, you better, because I'll throw something at you you can't handle. Now, that occurred right in our high school. It's been written up in the school paper. Ball State has it on their computer, and they play it interstate. Then they'll go on weekends to a big coliseum, and they'll build the dungeons and all of the levels and so forth, and they'll play this all weekend long. Satan has snared all these kids, and they're being trained as Satan's army with all of the knowledge of spells and how powerful they are and what level they are. It is absolutely mind-boggling when you approach it as to how he got that done. The way he did it, you see, if you'd written Little Red Riding Hood a lot back when we were studying it, you know, that's a fictitious character. So that's really fantasy, right? Little Red Riding Hood. And she didn't never exist except in somebody's mind, right? But, you see, what the devil did, he took somebody that wanted to be enterprising. This guy was an unemployed insurance salesman up in Wisconsin. And so he said, he put in his mind, why don't you devise a game? And here are the figures for this game. Here's the rules of the game. And this guy was probably amazed at what he produced. Just absolutely amazed at what he produced. But you see, the novel of the Titanic was written 3 years before the Titanic was built. And in duplicate of the way it happened. Yeah, that's right. Satan inspires fiction. That is fantasy. And fantasy leads to insanity. Very close. Now, Wynn was down to our place, and there was an article in the paper about D&D. Just happened to be that at Ball State. And it said some of the people playing it get so wrapped up that you can see a change in them. See? And you could. So this is just a little bit put it back there. And now, you can just hang on to them right there if you want to, and then just see that it gets to the table. So now we're ready for Prince's Blood of Jesus prayer. And we're going to finish up. It's right in the middle of the page, and it's the last one. Through the blood of Jesus, I am redeemed out of the hand of the devil. Through the blood of Jesus, all my sins are forgiven. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses me continually from all sin. Through the blood of Jesus, I am justified, made holy, set apart to God. My body is a temple for the Holy Spirit, redeemed, cleansed, sanctified by the blood of Jesus. Okay, we're just simply going to minister, and then they're going to serve lunch, and I want to tell you, the devil has devised all the formality of religion. The devil has devised all the formality of religion. We see the greatest miracles. If you go to Hegwitz, you'll see very little church formality. Practically none. The Holy Spirit just runs the service. We see our greatest miracles at the most unexpected moments. And I think, really, that if we're to walk as Jesus walked, we walk as with our eyes open, we look up to heavens like he did and say, Father, you know, Father, I ask. You know what ask means in the original language? If you'll just check it out and go back far enough, ask is a demand for that which is due. That which is due. Jesus Christ paid the price so that when you believed on him, it was due you. Praise God. It's due us. Due us. Now, who's it up to? John 1:12. He gave us the power to become the sons of God. See? That's what we have. So, actually, the formality, when we can put my goal, personally, is to put the Lord Jesus Christ in every word of every... See, we are to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We're to get so full of that, using the power of God to get all the crud out of us and all the corruption and everything, you see, of the devil, that we can put it in our home, in our business, in our school, in our community. And I say again that the believers ought to be running all the banks, that ought to be running all the political offices, that ought to be running America, that ought to be running every plant in America, that ought to be running the country, head of everything, and the sinners should be poor and destitute right where the Lord wants them, because they're cursed by God. That's what the Bible says. I'm not giving you anything that isn't scriptural. And how does it work? Just the opposite. Get born again and saved in spirit. Still, you don't have any teeth. First thing you know, the devil just kicks them right out. Why? Because we don't know who we are, and he picks on us. He keeps us suppressed, and we don't know warfare. So, you see, we have to clean up and become somebody. And a lady called. She got her daughter out of the... We've had three people set out of the insane asylums in the past, 18 months to 2 years. And we find there's no difference in the mind. See, the intelligence of everybody is the same. The only difference in the intelligence of people is the bondage that Satan puts on the mind. He binds this and down to an idiot. He binds this and down to an IQ of 40. He binds this and down to an IQ of 80. This and 160. This and 120. And there's no difference in that brain. Once the people are delivered and the bondage broke, listen, everybody that we've had people come that weren't able to take the warfare prayers, and so their folks take them, 16, 17-year-old kids. Folks took it for them, and within a month, they were taking them themselves, you see. Now, the power of God is consistent. It's absolutely true. It absolutely is miracle working, but it's got to be working. You're working the works of God. You're working the love of God. The love of God is works. Well, the lady called from Newcastle, Mrs. Rooster Holtz, and she said she wanted to bring Marlene up. Many of you have heard this story, maybe, but the reason I tell it is because we're going to have lunch in a little bit. And she came up, and she got her out on a 3-day leave. She was 30 years old, and she was confined to the Newcastle State Hospital for life. And they'd had her over at Richmond, and they had done an overall hysterectomy on her so that she could have sex. The psychiatrist thought it would be a good idea for her to, you know, calm her down some, because her mother had the measles, and she cried the first 30 days she was born. She had cerebral palsy and epilepsy on 6 kinds of drugs. And they had absolutely just simply, she was walking like this, see. Like this, big, thick glasses on, you see, and just smoked like a smokestack. And boy, I tell you, I just hate smoke. And she sat across the table from me, and her mother told us the history and so forth, and Marlene could not take the warfare prayers for herself. And, you know, Father, I tell you, the power all came from you. I give you all the glory. I just am reluctant to tell a story, give somebody's testimony or give a miracle work, because we have to realize that we're dead to ourselves. It didn't come within us. It's nothing we did. It's just the fact we were obedient, you see. So we were sitting there, and she had told us a history, and we were just getting acquainted. Now, she brought her up she had her out of the hospital 3 days on a furlough, and just, I said, come up to get acquainted. Susie Zimmerman had told him about our little group, the prayer warriors. And so we had visited, and she was sitting there blowing smoke in my face and just lighting one cigarette after another. And Jesus Christ came not to condemn the world, but to save the world. Now, if you go to Hegwich Baptist Church, you'll never hear anybody condemn you for anything you're doing, whether you're living with another man or whether you're living with another woman or once you get into the works of God, your condemning attitude leaves you. You have only compassion because you know the power of God can help that person. And so if it had been 10 years ago, I would have said, Marlene, the Lord won't do a thing for you till you put that cigarette down. You got to quit smoking or he won't even look at you. But no, I tell you what, I knew better. The power of God can work through everything. You don't need the warfare prayers. You don't need anything. You don't need anything but the power of God when the power of God's ready to work. See, I'm telling you, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. Why, if he can make something out of wind whirly, he can make it out of anybody, you know. That's what I've always said. That's the greatest hope I've got. Oh, forgive me, Father. But anyway, you know, so we just, I said, you know, let's have a sandwich. So Rachel got the sandwiches out and stuff, and she had brought Rachel went to the motel to get the girls so they could help with deliverance here in a little bit. They don't want to miss anything. she got up and got her a sandwich, and she sat back down, and I said, you know, Marlene, sometimes the Lord wants to do a physical work in a person before he does anything else to build their faith. And I said, let's just see what the Lord wants to do for you. So we just simply bound the strong man in her. Now, even before you ask for healing, you want to rebuke Satan and bind him, because healing and deliverance go hand in hand. You just simply have to have the deliverance, and you get the healing, you see. And so she had, I'm just going to name what he did for her. Within 15 minutes, and it took a while to find this out, you see, but he took away the nicotine habit. She never smoked again. She never put her glasses on again, her big, thick glasses that she had to have to read the Bible. He grew her 1¾ inches taller. He took her off of 6 drugs. Her legs were short, and he grew them out normal, but he also lengthened the whole body enough that she was 1¾ inches taller. And she never went back into that hospital. She never went back into that hospital. Lord, we thank you for things like that. Now, Father, we know you're no respecter of persons. I don't care how bad a shape you're in today, you see, the Lord knows it. And the Lord wants you to come to him and get something done about it. And so we're just simply going to start ministering and see the power of the Lord. Father, we just ask you for a covering of angels. We ask you, Evan Roberts says, I need to make something clear. And Uni, I'm glad you brought it up. Evan Roberts, who wrote War on the Saints, says that you cannot stand up for an audience and put the blood of Jesus over him for protection. See, in deliverance, you want the blood over you so that you'll be protected. Now, so we're just going to repeat this. Father, in the authority of Jesus Christ, I come to you and ask you to put the shed blood over me to protect me from any demons entering me. And then I ask you, Father, that all demons leaving me have one exit and no return. Praise God. Now, Father, we ask you for a complete covering of angels. We ask you for pressure on the Holy Spirit. We ask you to honor your verse where it says, all that shall call upon me for deliverance shall be delivered. And Uni Cook asked about how you have complete authority to cover your children with the blood. Anyone that's submitted to you and you have authority over, you can do anything for them. You can... As far as your married children, Uni, I do not know, but I would try it. It says, with God all things are possible, and it says, if you ask anything you shall desire, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, and I, as far as I'm concerned, it says, nothing shall be impossible. Nothing shall be impossible. All things are possible to him who believeth. So I think all things are possible to the believer. Nothing's impossible. So go ahead. I think the Lord would love to see his children be a little more brave and a little bit honor that. Okay. So, as we'll just simply go ahead and we'll minister, and I'd like to ask the workers to come forward and be here on the front rows or be available, and then anyone that needs ministry, why, just come for ministry. Now, it's a good idea right now that if you're not born again and saved, if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, why, just ask him into your heart. And just do it very simply, because the Lord... Okay. Are you really? Okay. Well, let's just get rid of that pain.
This concludes tape two of two tapes of Saturday morning, May the 24th, by Dr. Marcus Haggard of Yorktown.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.